And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim. I am your host. And if it is your first time here, thank you for tuning in with us today. We have the wonderful, wonderful Tyler Reese Tritt on the show today. You know, I say this quite a bit, and I think it's a good thing where I try not to like prejudge, right, any guests that I have, because I never know what I'm going to get. And this is one of those conversations that I will openly admit now that it's over and we had a great time, that I wasn't sure what I was going to get. Because when you're the daughter of, you know, probably one of the greatest 90s country artists of all time, you expect her to have kind of like a don't you know who I am kind of, you know, thing to her. And I'm going to tell you right now, she does not. And it was a huge sigh of relief because it just made the conversation so raw, so authentic. You know, you're going to come to find out a lot about her and Travis and, you know, what life was like being in the Tritt household. And it was actually pretty mind-blowing and such a great conversation and experience. And, like, you know, I was thinking about it after, and I've been thinking about it a lot since we recorded this episode, that it almost doesn't surprise me. You know, not almost, it doesn't surprise me, the stories you're about to hear about, you know, how dad is and how the family is and all that, because it's, if you really like get a sense of who Travis Tritt is, you know, he's just a regular dude, man. He's just a guy that can sing some pretty fucking badass songs and raise a family and can do it all really, really well. And, you know, he raised a hell of a girl here, and, you know, my hats are off to the Tritt family for raising such a great girl and great kids all around. So thank you for that. And really, thank you all again for being here. It's a huge pleasure, a huge honor for you to be here. It was a huge, like I said, a huge honor to talk to Tyler Reese also. That's it, I think. What have we got going on? Not much. Oh, we went and saw Aaron Lewis over the weekend. Great time. We were not there for the Boots and Whiskey podcast, so I don't think it's appropriate to talk about here. A big thank you, though, to Aaron's team and all that for the great show and hospitality. I'll just leave it at that. That's it. If you're not already following us on socials, do so. Would love to have you. Boots and Whiskey Podcast on everything. And our website, bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com. We haven't updated that in a while, but I think I'm going to start because I'm paying for it. So I might as well work on it. and that's it, guys. So thank you again so much for being here. Hope you enjoy our conversation with Tyler. And that's it. So we'll see you on the flip side. Sit back, relax, enjoy the show. Unless you're driving, then don't sit back and relax. Pay attention to what you're doing. And we'll see you on the flip side, guys. Enjoy. We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailsworcester.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
Hey, Ty.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for being on.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, we, so you probably don't know this because I don't know, but, so you were up in our neck of the woods not too long ago, and I was supposed to be at the show and something last minute happened and we couldn't make it. And I was devastated. Absolutely devastated.
What show was it?
In Worcester at Off the Rails.
Oh my gosh, that was a fun one. You missed a fun one.
You know, I don't doubt it. Off the Rails and I, we have a very great working relationship. And when I saw you were coming, it was like, it felt like almost like last minute. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. And you know how life goes.
Oh yeah.
You know, but you know, I'm psyched that you're here.
I know. I'm so excited.
So, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to just kind of shoot the shit. You know, we're not, this isn't super formal. This is more or less, you know, for people to get to know who you are as a person. You know, because I think that's important. So I'm going to kind of let you take the rails and the reins and let you kind of jump in, tell your story a little bit. And I'm going to jump in and ask the hard-hitting questions as they come up, and you know, we'll have a good time.
Perfect.
So for everybody that lives under a rock, your lineage is country music royalty. So why don't you tell people, just to get it out of the way so we can, you know, just bury the hatchet. Who's dad?
Dad is Travis Tritt.
How is that? Legit? Like, how is that? Do you like ever, you know, some people have your father on the Mount Rushmore of 90s country, right? I mean, I sure as hell do. Is that intimidating?
It was in the beginning.
Oh, but I'm sure.
More of a, like, it's what, you know, there's many things that help drive me, but that's one of the things that now I've looked at. Where before I was very intimidated and still kind of am, but
more like, yeah,
but definitely it's helped me in the long run.
Now, growing up with that sort of, I guess you could call it lifestyle, like, do you know, we've had a lot of, you know, big time country music artists, children or relation or whatever on their show. Right. And I love to know, like, what was it like growing up with that? Like, did you have any idea what the hell was going on?
Not really. Not till I was probably like fifth grade, maybe.
Really?
I realized like, oh, okay. Like this is, something's different here.
Right.
But, yeah. For the most part, like my dad kept things pretty normal. So did my mom. You know, we went to normal school and, the only thing that I guess was kind of different now is like when, you know, they'd pull us out, not all the time, but like certain dates, and we'd go out on the bus, like on the road with dad. And that was a lot of fun. And dad always made sure like he'd go to places, like whenever he was in Florida or like Orlando or something, he'd set aside a day for all of us to go to Disney or wherever he was at. If there was like an attraction or something nearby that he knew we'd like, they'd usually like pull us out of school. But for the most part, like, they were really pretty normal parents. Like, dad's, you know, I didn't think my dad was really, like, cool until I got older because, you know, he had the dad jokes and he's goofy. Like, he's so goofy. I love him to death. But, like, yeah. Like, oh, my God, like, your dad is so cool. I'm like, yeah, he's cool. But, like, in my mind, I'm like, he's a goofball. He's just dad to you. Yeah, just dad. Yeah.
Right. Now, so like growing up, right? You know, you have an incredible talent, an incredible voice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, does that? This is gonna sound probably really bad, but does dad push you? I don't want to say push you. Does dad encourage? Let's say encourage. Does he encourage you to like, you know, to just say, hey, Ty, like you've got something here, or is he hands off with all of this?
For the most part, he's hands off. In the beginning, when I told him this was what I was wanting to do, he tried very, very hard to steer me in the opposite direction. Very hard. Just because he knows how, you know, how tough the business can be and just, you know, right. Ruthless. And I'm sure it's definitely changed a lot, too, since he has come up. But, yeah, no, he did not want me to do it at all. And when he finally realized that I wasn't giving in and that this was what I was wanting to do, he finally jumped on board and he was like, all right, he goes, I'm not going to do everything for you, because he goes, I didn't have that for me. So he was like, you're going to have to learn the ropes and figure things out for yourself, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
That he did that. And, yeah.
Now, again, this is, you know, we don't hold back here at the Boots of Whiskey podcast, right? So I'm going to go in on you, right?
Go in. All right.
But let's be fair, right? Your talent, the sound of your voice aside, right? We have to at least acknowledge the fact that being Travis Tritt's daughter helps, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I'd be lying if I said it didn't.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know if you know who Walker Montgomery is. He's John Michael's son.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's making his way up. And, like, I asked him the same thing. You know, like, you have to, you know, give credit to where it's due, too. You know, I mean, talent aside, right? Without
absolutely.
Right. Now, again, nothing, this isn't negative at any, in any way. But, like,
no, go ahead.
Getting into these places or getting meetings or getting yourself out there has to be, like, worlds easier.
Sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes.
Do you think sometimes it makes it even more harder?
Yes.
Really?
Because you're, you know, everyone's already has you under a microscope because
sure.
Your parent is.
Right. And,
I've been able to talk with a lot of other country artists' kids, and, you know, they've all said about the same thing. Like, sometimes, you know, that we'd be stupid if we deny that it wasn't easier in most cases, but in other cases, it's harder because we're under a microscope, like, because they're like, all right, you know, are you doing this? Is your parent, like, helping you all the, you know, helping you get all the way to where you need to go? Or, right. You know, there's just, and are you as good as your parent?
Right. I was just going to say, there's going to be a level of expectation of, like, well, you know, if Travis can do this, you better be able to do this too.
Oh, I've had people come up to me before my show and say that, like, straight up, like, I've seen your dad in concert. You better be as good as your dad. I'm like, well, stick around and find out. Let me know.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know. Like, you know, but I, like, understand, that, you know?
Yeah. And it's, but that's also, you know, super, like, you know, that's a part of my language, but that's like a dickhead comment too. You know, it really is, because it's hey, I've seen one of the greatest country music artists of the last 30 years. You better be as good as that. You know, yeah, it's like, what?
Literally. Like, no pressure.
Oh, okay. No big deal.
Yeah. Right? I literally just look at them. I'm like, all right.
Right. That'd be like going to Garth Brooks' daughter and be like, you better be that good.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, there's some crazy stories.
Oh, I can imagine.
There's some crazy stuff.
Yeah. So now, when did you start to realize that you could sing, write songs, you know, actually have a career in this?
Well, I'd been singing since I was three, like, just, you know, running around the house, whatever was on the radio or whatever movie or anything I just watched that had a song in it, I'm running around the house singing it. But when I realized, like, I could actually write, and when I wanted to do this for real, was probably around middle school, middle school to high school.
Now, was it because you were doing something like a play or a musical, or were you just?
Well, I had joined chapel band because I went to a Christian high school, so I joined chapel band and just I'd always been on the dance competition team and traveled and performed on stage. You know, so performing on stage wasn't anything new for me for dancing, but being up on stage and singing, surprisingly to me, was like a whole different beast to tackle. I don't know how to explain how it was different. It just was different. And so when I got on stage, when I had signed up for chapel band in high school and I got up on stage with the group and was singing instead of dancing, it was like, it was just a completely different feeling and such a rush. And I just loved it. And then when I was about 14, I did that duet with Dad and I went out on the road. We did like, you know, several shows and festivals, and the first show I ever did with him in Dublin, I think it's Virginia or West Virginia, Dublin, Virginia, maybe. That was the first festival. And I will never forget the feeling of being on stage and just singing for an audience like that for the first time and just the reaction. It was such a rush. And
yeah,
surprisingly, each time I go out on stage, you know, I'm expecting like, oh, that'll fade, that'll go away, but it hasn't yet.
Now, when you get up on stage at that age, right, and you're in front of all those people, and you know, does it register for you, like what that moment really is?
I think it didn't when I was kind of standing there, like I was kind of it was more of like I was in shock, and then once I got out there and I saw everything and like the light was on and it all just hit me. Oh, I was shaking like a leaf. It was real.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's something. That is something. So, you know, when you do that duet with Dad, right? Whose idea is that? Is that his idea? Is that your idea? Is that somebody else's idea?
It was his idea. And it was really spontaneous, actually, how that came about. Because we were on the way to my Nana's wedding in Florida. And he had these tracks that he was playing, like tracks that he had recorded a while ago, but he was looking for a female duet partner, and the people who he had in mind, Trisha Yearwood, Wynonna Judd, you name it.
Hold on. I'm gonna interrupt you real quick.
Yeah.
Think about this, right? And again, I swear I'm a New Englander. It's like swears are like commas. You fucking beat out the biggest heavy hitters in female country music.
That's awesome. Well, I was okay. It was kind of by default because they had already, Dad would have totally gone to them, but they had all just done duets at the time.
Oh, okay.
So he couldn't reach out because he was like, they're not going to want to do a duet. They just did a duet. So he was just playing them in the car, and I happened to know one of the covers he was playing from, you know, road tripping with mom. She has it on her playlist. So I was in the back seat and I was singing the girl part. And, you know, I kept, every time it ended, I'd be like, Dad, can you play that again? Can you play that again? And by the time we got to Florida, you know, I get out of the car, I go do my thing. And apparently Dad had gone to mom and was like, I really want Tyler Reese to cut this song with me. I want her to be the duet. So they came and asked me, and of course I was so excited. I was like, absolutely, I'll do it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really exciting.
Now, what year was that?
I was 14, and I suck at math. I'm 26 now, so I don't know what year that would be.
All right. Yeah. All right. So you and I are 11 years apart. So, okay. That would, yeah, we won't do math. We'll just. Yeah.
I was like, the math ain't mathin'.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I can't count to 20 with my shoes on, so I get it. So that's awesome. You know, now at the time, right, did you know that there was thought of somebody else doing it and you just, you know, were just singing the song?
Oh, no, okay. I had no clue until I heard him say it in like an interview later, like after the song dropped. And then I was like, oh, I had no clue. He had all those other women in mind. And then, yeah.
But
me.
Right. I mean, I guess thank God for those other duets, right?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
literally, everything happened the way it was supposed to, and
Right.
helped me dip my toe in to the business to see if I really, if this is something I really wanted to do. And all it did was, I'm sure Dad hated it, but fuel my fire. And I was like, I'm really not quitting now.
Right. You fed the beast, Dad. Like,
He did. He
this is
did.
what
He
you
woke
get.
a monster. I was like, after he sat there and told me, don't do it, don't do it. Then he's like, oh, you got to be my duet partner. And then I'm like, oh, I'm hooked. You done did it now.
Right. Well, look, it's funny you say that he tried, tried to deter you. Did he try to deter your brother too?
I'm not sure if he tried to deter Tristan. I'm sure he was like, Tristan's his boy. He was
He
doing
is your
more.
brother, right? Like, I didn't
Yeah,
just. Okay,
he
all
was
right.
more in the rock world. Dad was like, he can take it, but I'm his only daughter and
Right.
I'm the baby
Yeah.
girl. So he was like, oh, he was trying to look out, but I was once he realized I wasn't giving in, he let up.
Right. Now, speaking of your brother, if you don't mind, like, how does he get into the rock and roll world and not into the country world?
So Tristan growing up has always been, I'm gonna do the opposite of whatever you tell me to do or whatever you expect me to do. I'm gonna do the exact opposite. So, and he did. Now, naturally, he has always grown up like I would always listen to country with Dad, and Dad would always just play it or whatever, or have it playing, and I'd always be singing along or, asking questions. And Tristan was always just kind of like, eh. But he was off listening to like Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, oh, you name it.
Right,
He
sure.
Rolling Stones, like all of them. Like he loved just rock and roll. And when Dad would play rock, that's when Tristan would become very interested. And that was pretty early on. But then once he got older and, he started working in the music industry, because he didn't realize he wanted to be a singer in the beginning. At first, he was like, well, I'll try producing and then I'll try, being a manager. And then finally, he was just like, none of these are working for me. And I was like, well, have you ever tried singing, like going out and doing the artist thing? And he was like, no. I was like, well, that's like the most fun part. I was like, you should at least try it. And when everyone was asking him like, what genre are you gonna do? They expected country. They're like, oh, you're probably gonna follow your dad's footsteps. And Tristan was like, no. He's like, absolutely not. And he just went completely rock and roll. Now he's starting to, I've noticed, circle back around because he can't help it and it's in his roots. And I think he's going to end up doing some kind of like southern rock mix,
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's kind of where it's at right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm just saying that because I'm so enthralled in the genre and in the industry, but like, I have dabbled into other genres and stuff, and it's not like this. It's not, if you were to talk to a rock and roll band about other artists or other influences or, whatever, like they'd back away. Like everybody in the country music world, if you start talking about like talking about Dad or, other people of that time or now, like, everybody wants to talk about it. They're like, yeah, absolutely, 100%. But, you talk to a rock and roll band about, another rock and roll band at the current time, and it's a huge competition.
Yes.
I mean,
Yes.
not that you guys aren't in a level of competition, but it's
Oh
not.
no, definitely competition, but we're more, it's for to me, country music's more like family.
Yes,
Once,
you. Right. I once heard somebody say, like, I think I was watching one of the award shows, and it was like, how great is it to be up here? And, if you're a fan of Brad Paisley, you're a fan of this person and that person. Like, everybody shares the same fan bases. It's incredible.
Oh yeah.
It's really, really great. It's the best thing about the genre.
It is. It really is.
So from you do want to duet with dad and getting that taste to where you are now. Like, what was that in between time like for you?
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center. Again, here in Worcester, DCUCenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, DCUCenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
Honing in everything, you know, figuring out my music, because, you know, when I came up listening to music, when I came up singing music, the music that I was listening to, because I didn't know how to sing. I didn't have a vocal coach until I was older, until like high school. So when I was learning to sing coming up, I was mimicking and copying whoever I was hearing at the time.
Okay.
And so dad was like, that's good and all. He's like, you can, you know, obviously whoever you learn from, whoever, you know, you want to sound like, you can take little bits and pieces from whichever artist, but in the end, you need to sound like you. You don't need to sound like somebody because there's already a so-and-so.
Right.
You know, you don't need to sound like Reba because there's already a Reba. You don't need to sound like Carrie Underwood. There's already a Carrie. You need to sound like yourself.
Exactly. And
define your sound. So really what I was doing during that whole time was just touring and, you know, writing and rehearsing and just figuring out what my sound is.
Right.
Which because I was growing up on that old school, you know, 90s country.
Listen, careful with the old and 90s, all right?
Jesus. No, I know. Well, I was 98. Look, I was
Did you just say I was 90s, born in 98?
Yes.
Oh, that's right, huh? Right. Oh my God. You missed a hell of a decade, girl. I'm not going to lie to you.
Trust me, I know. Of course you come in at the end.
Yeah.
I hate it. I was born in the wrong.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, like, I came in at the end of the 80s, so I remember the 90s, like, pretty well, you know, and then the early 2000s, and then, like, I think about it, and, like, you see those, like, memes on Facebook or whatever, and it's like, you know, at my age, you know, when somebody says 30 years ago or 20 years ago, I think, you know, you know, like, 2010, and it's like, right. You know, oh, no, actually, it was 1987. I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, God.
You know.
Damn.
Yeah. 40 years ago, you know, 37 years ago was 1987. And I'm like, that no, it wasn't. It was wild. Like, you know, that was like 1977. What are you talking about? Anyway, I digress. But yeah, I mean, so trying to hone in your sound to be, you know, uniquely yours or, you know, distinctively yours, you know, that's going to be hard, especially, you know, especially being a woman in this industry, because like you said, there's so many other, you know, big, powerful female voices out there that you have to stand out.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you don't stand out, you know, here's a quarter, call someone who cares.
Hey, sorry,
I had to. It was right there. It was right there. Please forgive me. That was the lamest dad joke.
That was good.
That was the lamest dad joke probably of the night.
No, that was good.
You know, it's, yeah.
That was so good.
I can't tell you how like, you know, when I get the email that said that you were available today, I was like, I am going to drop Travis Tritt lyrics all fucking night. And
oh, see. Stop.
But anyway, you're right. You know, if the door's open, you got to walk through it.
Absolutely.
So when you're honing in your sound, right? Are you, you know, kind of like what you said, you know, the Carries of the world and, you know, the Miranda Lamberts of the world and so on and so forth. Like, did you ever record things and listen back to it and go, okay, that sounded too much like this person or that person? It's not unique enough.
Yes, I did. And honestly, like working with a vocal coach, it helped she helped me find my voice. Cause there was a lot of things I didn't realize that I was, you know, doing wrong. And once she helped me, it helped my voice.
Sure. Sure. Now, once you do find your voice, right? I can't speak English right now.
Words are hard.
Yeah, they are. Especially after the day I've had today. Do the songs become easier to write?
Do the songs become easier to write? If what?
Like, if once you found your voice, like, you're like, okay, this is my sound. This is what I'm thinking. This is how I'm feeling. Like, these.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, once you figure that out, yes, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Writing before, it was kind of just like, you know, what everybody else. How they were thinking I should sound, or, you know, well, you know, I think you sound like this person when you sing, so I think you need to do a song like this, and, you know, all these different voices and suggestions, and finally, you know, once I figured out mine, I was like, all right, this is what we're doing.
Right, right. Now, you know, looking at what you've released, right, that's on Spotify and stuff, because that's what I just use. It's my go-to. You know, the three singles you have out are just killer. What's coming next? Because I'm not going to lie to you. The songs you've put out just, I mean, for me anyway, like, makes me want to hear more.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
We got some fun stuff coming out this year. A few of those, like, song or sad song country ballads. A few fun, loving, you know, party songs, dancing songs. We got a whole bunch of fun stuff cooking up.
Tyler, are you making country music sad again? Please say yes.
Of course. Well, right. You have to.
You got to. Because we're missing it. I'm not going to lie to you. We're missing it.
I got yelled at all the beginning growing up because all my songs that I wanted in the set list were nothing but sad country ballads, and they were like, Tyler, the audience gonna want to slit their wrist by the end of the damn show because then
they don't understand country music.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I grew up on. Like, out of all the music that I ever listened to, those were my favorite. Like,
yes,
had you, like, they were just soaring in the chorus and just had you feeling every bit of the music, lyrics, and it was like, oh my god, like. This is what country music is supposed to be, but everyone was like, Tyler, you cannot keep doing sad, sad songs one right after the other. I'm like, all right, maybe we sprinkle like a couple.
All right, yeah, fine. We'll play Friends in Low Places.
Yeah, we'll do a couple. You know, like,
you know, so it's
so... I had to finally, after we put out those three singles, I have to throw in a little country ballad.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you mention about, you know, growing up and listening to country music. Because when I was growing up, you know, people that have listened to this show before, like, they know I used to despise country music, like, despise, right? And, you know, but growing up, you know, my dad's side of the family, it was all that old country music. It was that, you know, it was Waylon and Willie and Merle and... Oh, yeah. You know, Johnny Paycheck and Conway Twitty, you know, the whole gamut, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I remember being a kid and was like, I cannot wait for this party to end so that I could stop hearing this music. You know, but yes. Now as an adult, it's like, I put that music on and I'm like, they're singing to me, you know, you know, and,
you understand it now.
Yeah, you do. You really do. You know, and I say it all the time. Where, you know, when I was growing up and a kid, you know, it was classic rock. It was Pink Floyd, you know, The Who and The Beatles and, you know, so on and so forth. And then, like, as I got older, you know, when I got into college, it was the jam bands and all that. And then once I started having kids and a family and all that, it was like, oh, country music now makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's wild how that works.
It is wild.
You know, so... You guys are from Georgia, right?
Yes.
Okay, so when dad's on the road and you're growing up, you're in Georgia full time. Yes, no, maybe so?
Uh-huh.
Did you guys ever live in Nashville?
No.
No?
No.
D- Did dad ever live in Nashville?
Never.
No shit. Are you serious?
Swear.
So how did that, again, this isn't about your father. I mean, it kind of is.
But,
you know, how does that work? How does, you know, especially for that time, you know, it's not like it is now where you don't
well,
have
for
to
for that time, him and Willie and Waylon, their type wasn't accepted in Nashville.
That's true.
So Waylon and Willie were like, well, fine, we'll go to Texas and we'll make something of ourselves. That way y'all have no choice but to, you know, come to want us.
Right.
And dad went to Georgia and or stayed in Georgia and right. was like, all right, you know, and exactly what they all said was happened, you know, they kept grinding and kept doing what it was that they were doing. And they eventually got so big that finally Nashville was like, all right,
right,
y'all were right, we were wrong. And but it's almost better dad staying in Nashville because, you know, most of the artists down there you see pretty frequently. And you know, because of social media and stuff, I think a lot of the mystique and the what's the word I'm looking for, like you know, with celebrities, how they used to, you never, you know.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Like there's like a star quality.
Sure. Yes.
Like they still have that. There's definitely still star quality out there, but you know, social media, and I'm such an old person, like in my brain and in my head, like, you know, you see what everybody does and you're seeing people who you'd never see constantly. You know, back in the day, it was a big deal if you saw like Brad Pitt or, you know, whoever. Right. Leonardo DiCaprio, like in the grocery store or whatever, but like now you're like, oh, okay, like that's cool, you know.
Right.
Dad, because he lives in Georgia, whenever he comes to Nashville to do anything, it's like a big deal.
Right. Well, yeah. Absolutely. So are you living in Nashville now or are you still in Georgia?
I'm still in Georgia.
Nice. Do you have any desire to go to Nashville?
I never really have. I've always been such a Georgia girl. I was yeah. like, and it's so close, you know, I'm right. able to go back and forth in a day. Like tomorrow I'm going for a meeting and then turning around and driving right back. Like 3 hours there, 3 hours back. And it's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's nothing.
No.
That's nothing. That's like, you know, for where I am, right? A 3 hour drive would put me in Manhattan.
Oh, so, yeah.
So I totally get it. You know, it's totally doable.
Totally.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love what you're doing, you know, because it's, you know, obviously you have a level of star power behind you, right? But you're also doing it the way you want to do it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and that's going to be, you know, that has to be, I mean, I'm not to speak for you, but is some of that a little intimidating where it's like, you know, I want to pave my own path, but I also... You know, there's also a level of, you know, thought or expectation from other people because of who your father is.
Oh, there's definitely an expectation. In the beginning, I think I really let it get to me, like everybody else's expectations and, you know, people really thought they had a say on just because. You know, I'm dad's daughter. Like when I go out on stage, what I need to say, how I should dress, what I should sing. And in the beginning, you know, I'd look at all that stuff and it'd get to me. But I honestly think just being out and touring and getting older now, my give a shitter's kind of broken. So it's like,
I love the way you just
so
said
it's
that.
Like, I kind of just, you know, it's like, all right, if you don't like how I sound, you can change the station.
Right.
Or you can listen to an artist that you do like. If you don't like how I dress, you don't have to look.
Right.
Or, you know, it's like, yeah,
yeah,
I don't let their expectations, you know.
I don't blame you at
control
all.
Me any.
Yeah. Now for where you are at, right, your career and, you know, where you kind of project yourself to go, How big is the, you know, Tyler Reese Tritt team?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, management wise, label wise, you know.
Oh, we got PR. Yeah, we got a pretty big team.
Yeah.
And it's a great team. But yeah, it's a pretty good size. We got a lot of wheels.
Yeah.
In the team.
Now, you know, you talked about going to Nashville for meetings and stuff like that. What do those meetings look like for people that may not know what a meeting would look like, if that makes sense?
Well, some of it is manager meetings. Some of them's meeting with my booking agent, just going over, you know, upcoming shows or tours, or discussing, you know, what the plan is, or laying out schedules for EP release and sure. single release, and scheduling and photo shoots and interviews and all the fun stuff.
Right. Oh yeah. No. Now, do you have a level of, this is going to sound, do you have a level of say in what, you know, your touring schedule and everything that has to pertain to you and your career looks like? Or are you kind of like just putting it in the hands of others and trusting and hoping for the best?
Because I'm an independent artist, I do have a majority of the say.
Good.
And in the beginning coming up, I was so only about, you know, getting on stage and performing. I didn't care about the business. I didn't want to know. All y'all take care of it. Just get me to the show, get me on stage, you know, get me to the studio, get me recording, let's get music out. I did not care about any of the business. But
right.
Now growing up and getting older, and, you know, dad is very much into his business, and so is my brother. Within the last year and a half, I've really changed my perspective on that, because, you know, dad was like, no one's going to take care of your career like you, and
right.
you only have one career. So I really was like, and he was like, do you really want to leave it in the hands of other people? I'm like, well, not solely. Yeah. But he's right. like, you need to learn the business side. I'm like, okay. So I have been learning, and I do like it.
You do?
I do.
That was going to be my next question, where is like, do you like the business side of it?
I do. Well, learning it has definitely had its struggles, but now that I'm getting the hang of it, I'm learning so much. It's like, okay, like all this new information and everything coming in, I'm like, all right, I feel like it's helping me. It's helping me grow.
Yeah.
It is something I needed to do, for yeah. sure.
I mean, absolutely. Any kind of business that you're in, you know, regardless of what it is, it could be music, it could be, you know, teaching, it could be whatever, right? Once you understand the business side of something, you know, your particular job or function within that business, you know, sometimes I think makes a little more sense.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it's always good to understand, you know, because I'll be the first to admit, I've never understood business much until I started getting into, you know, this podcast and stuff, and having to see how the sausage is made, you know, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I get it. I get, you know, what my role here is and how I can either change something or keep something the way, you know, it's expected. And, you know, when I started this podcast, you know, just as a side note, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, country music media. Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of the Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England, with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out, theporchsouthern.com. Outlets out there, right? And when I started, it was all about, you know, how great everything is, right? Well, this Luke Combs song is the best one yet, or this, you know, this Luke Bryan song is this, you know, whatever the case was. It was always positive. Now, I'm not saying you know, I'm not saying it was there's negative, but like there was nothing really substantial or nothing real out there that gave a real opinion or a real something about something in the industry. You know, it was right. Everything was rainbows and butterflies and nothing was wrong, you know.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, no, fuck that. Like, yeah, I love, you know, I love these artists too, but not every song Luke Combs puts out is a good one. Right.
I agree.
You know, but like people are afraid to say that because the machine is so big that, you know, like a lot of other things in this country, like if you're big enough, they know how to keep you quiet or make it so that you're not seen, you know?
Yes.
And I am proud of myself for kind of like bucking that system, if you will.
Heck yeah. You know? You should be, as you should.
You know, because to me, it's a great day to be alive.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Oh my God. That's two.
I'm, you know, I just don't like rice. So,
you don't?
No, I'm not a big rice guy. Especially, rice that you cook in a microwave. No, thank you.
Oh, what? You have to. Oh, no.
Nope.
See, we're part Chinese. So, if we almost have rice with every
on.
Meal.
Hold on. You're what?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
I'm Han. I am Han's 57.
Jesus Christ.
I got it all. I am. Yeah. My family, we're mutts.
No shit.
We are
so mutts. Who's Chinese?
My grandfather.
No shit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, sorry.
Oh, my great.
Sorry.
I guess my
grandfather. The New Englander swears. I apologize.
You do not have to apologize. A Southerner swear.
Yeah, but you're like a Southern sweetheart young lady. Like you can't swear in front
you're
of
so sweet.
You can't swear in front of the princess of country music.
Well, the princess of country music swears. So
well,
you
my girl. I hope your father listens to this and is like, oh my God, what?
He knows. He knows. He shakes his head sometimes. He's like, oh
I'm
God.
Sure.
I've,
I'm not going to lie to you. I have in the last 3 years of doing this podcast, I have like secretly trolled your father for the last 3 years trying to get him on the show. So like, this is like my revenge.
I love
you
it.
I was like, you want to ignore me, Travis Tritt? I'll have a turn around and fucking awesome.
Watch this.
Right. Boom. Checkmate, bud.
I love it. I love it.
Until I get a phone call, he'd be like, you ready? And I'm like, I don't know. I'll have a heart attack. I'd probably
yes,
have a heart attack.
You will. You'll be ready.
Yeah. Okay, so your grandfather is Chinese.
Yes. Great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather.
He's full-blooded Chinese, and he married my great-grandmother, who was full-blooded Guyanese, which is South African.
Jesus. Holy moly.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So they all, you know, mingled, and then... my Nana, who was their daughter, she ended up marrying my Papa, who was from Tennessee, and... On my daddy's side, it's like German and, you know, Native American. And I also have Native American on my mom's side. And I Irish, French, like I honestly think we have everything, but I think everything but Mexican.
But
I swear.
But, you know.
Like anything Latino. I don't think we're anything Latino.
But, you know, Tyler, country music is racist. So.
Apparently so.
Yeah. You know. I shouldn't even have said that. I apologize, but it aggravates me that is a thing because
I really don't think it is.
Like, I don't either.
I've seen country music embrace so many different, you know, shapes, sizes, colors. Like it doesn't matter.
No,
like it really doesn't matter as long as you love country music and you love what you're doing. Like it's very accepting.
Well, you know, like so perfect example, right? I had a young lady, very sweet. Interview me a couple of weeks ago from one of the colleges up here in Boston, right? And it was right around the time the shittier version of Texas Hold'em, not yours, came out that Beyonce put out. And she wanted, you know, she's like, I want, you know, an expert opinion. And I was like, well, you're going to get an opinion. I don't know if you're going to get an expert one. And like, she tried to bait me into saying that country music had a racism problem. And I was like, no, it doesn't. And like, I gave her all these examples and she was like, all right, well, I guess we're done with the interview. And I was like, okay, perfect. Now I see what you were trying to do. It was just so infuriating.
Yeah. No, I don't think so at all. And that's even, I remember very, very young going to shows with Dad and Ray Charles. Right. Them two perform together. Like, they've always been so excited. And heck, Dad did duets with Patti LaBelle. Like, no, I don't believe that for a second.
I don't either. And it infuriates me.
Oh, it infuriates. No, it's very infuriating. Yeah.
You know, so like when people like, you know, and I get in trouble for it all the time. So like when like, you know, the whole Morgan Wallen fiasco went around, you know, I was like Team Morgan and people would be so mad at me. And it's like, you know,
I was in the same boat with you.
I was like, give me a break, you know.
Really? Y'all don't talk way worse. Right. Everyone, glass houses. That's all I could think of when everybody was saying shit. Yep. I was like, glass houses, y'all. Like, I for sure have heard many of y'all say worse.
Right.
And it was a Snoopy person recording. He wasn't even saying it. Like, there was so much that was just so wrong.
You know what? I say it all the time, and like, people, you know, people think I'm crazy, but I think that Amber was a plant by the label to make Dangerous go as high as it did.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, why not? Conspiracy theories here at the Boots and Whiskey podcast. you know, but it's like, it's, you know, all this controversy over the last few years in country music. And like, this is what I mean by like, this show is off the rails because now we're talking about conspiracy theories. But like even in the last few years, like, you know, just as an example, because we're talking about, you know, your father gets all this shit because of the whole vaccination thing and not wanting to play in places that require that kind of thing. And it's like, why? Because somebody has an opinion that's different than yours? Like, fuck off.
Exactly.
It's, you know, that
exactly right.
You know, your dad released a t-shirt with, you know, the vaccination card. And it was like,
the vax card? Yeah. Like, this is my vaccine card. Yeah.
Call someone who cares or whatever. Like, it was awesome. Yep. I wanted to get that shirt so bad. And then I can't find it anymore. So, Travis, if you're listening and there's one floating around, just let me know. Extra large.
Limited edition. And we were laughing because we had a friend at one concert one time. He had that shirt and he had it on. And he was drunker than Cooter Brown. And there was a woman that walked by and was like, hey, I like your shirt. And he was like, oh, really? Thanks. And he took it off and he gave it to her. And we were like, Adam, you know that is a limited edition. You're not going to make any more. And he was devastated. He tried to get it back and she was like, no way, man.
Right?
You were dying laughing. But that's awesome. That was a fun shirt.
It was awesome. Because, like, I had saw it, and then I went to go buy it, and it was gone. And I was like, no, it's so good. I appreciate your time, like, so much. I can't even tell you. But what is the 2024 plan with music for you? We are in 2024, right? You know, is it the single route? Is it the EP route? Is it the eventual album route? Like, what is the plan?
Well, right now the plan is we just started. I'm doing my first ever tour.
Yep.
Which is the Tin Roof Tour that we announced either last Friday or the Friday before, which I'm super excited about. That starts this Thursday, actually.
So last Thursday, once this comes out, because this will come out next Tuesday. Try to math.
I was about to say, you're gonna trip me up.
Tyler, do not math on me right now.
You're gonna math on me and you're gonna trip me up. Yeah, that's starting. But then definitely during and after, like whenever I get off, you know, I've been in the recording studio, I've been writing. So getting as many new singles out there as possible and eventually working up to an EP or album is definitely the end goal for 2024.
Right. Now, you know, the shows, you know, you did a show up here not too long ago. When you do shows like that, when you kind of like go off, I don't want to see off the beaten path, right? But, you know, the Northeast is kind of not the territory that maybe you're used to, right?
Well, that was the first time I've ever been.
Well, I was just going to say, do you treat those shows almost like a fact-finding mission? Like, it's like, okay, let's dip our toes in this market and see where it goes? Or, you know, is it just one of those things where it's like, hey, what the hell, why not?
I think for me, it's more what the hell, why not? Like, you know, let's just see what happens. I'm very, you know, like, I don't care where you put me, what stage you put me on. I don't care how many people are in the audience. Like, I'm there to do what I love and we're going to have a good time anyway. Right. But I would be lying if I was said that I wasn't a little nervous going to Boston. Cause I was just like, are they going to like country music up there? You know, I wasn't really sure, but then definitely my mind was changed after Off the Rails and that second venue. Like y'all, it was so much fun and just insane. And of course, you know, 12OCU opened and that was real helpful because they had already had a crowd and a pull. So, you know, a bunch of their fans came and my fans came and it was a hoedown. We really, truly just had fun both nights, like truly.
Those boys in 12OCU are good kids.
They're so good. We had such a fun night. Both nights. We had a great time. Yeah. Great shows.
Yeah, we actually... The first podcast they were ever on or did was this one.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like their podcast debut. They had never done one before. And, you know,
So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
They were just, I guess, in the right place at the right time because I was like, yeah, come on, you know?
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's been a ride, and I can't thank you enough for sharing this ride with me a little bit. You know, it's really, it means the world.
Well, thank you. It means the world to me that you wanted me on the ride.
Oh, hell yeah, of course. I wanted you to be on the show when you were here, get you leading up to it, because I love doing in-person interviews. I, like, love it.
I do, too.
But, you know, this is, I guess it's better than nothing, right?
Of course.
Now, you know, before I let you go and have a life, because we are the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, I obviously have to ask about your boots and your whiskey of choice.
Oh, my boots of choice probably got to be Ariat.
Yeah, girl.
I do love my Ariat boots, and I got several of them. Yep. And then my whiskey... I'm a tequila drinker.
Oh my god! Of course you are.
I'm a tequila drinker, but whiskey. You know, whiskey. I get I don't know my temper. It's quick on whiskey.
Nice.
I didn't realize, you know, but every time someone is mistakenly giving me whiskey, or you know, it gets past that point, and I black out. Apparently. My patience is very thin.
Nice. You get the evil twin.
I do get the evil. It's like the alter ego comes out. It's very rare, very few that she comes out, but it's like she comes out and she wants to fight everybody.
Oh my god, I love her. I love her. Oh, now crazy. I'm so sad I didn't come to that show. You got to come back up here. So
I know. But Crown Apple or Jack Apple or any of the Jack Apple or Crown Apple flavors, I'm a sucker for, nice. Honestly.
You know, it's funny. I wasn't a big Crown guy, right? But I'm gonna name drop a little bit here because so last weekend, the weekend before, we went and saw Cody Johnson, right? And Justin Moore opened the show, and I've gotten pretty close with Justin's TM. So he brought us backstage and they had Crown, and he was like, you need a whiskey. And I was like, sure do. And you know, when somebody's pouring you something, you're not going to be like, oh, I don't like that one. You know, you just take it. And I was like, damn, this is good. Like, I've been missing out. And I was very pleasantly surprised with the Crown Royale.
What do you mix it with?
I didn't have anything with it. What do you mean mix it with? What the hell is wrong with you?
You had it straight?
Fuck yeah. Straight.
Oh, God. It's making my head hurt just talking about
Girl,
it.
Girl, the only way if I don't have whiskey straight, it's in an old fashioned. That's the
my God.
Yeah.
No, if you have like Crown Apple and ginger ale, it's like you're having a green apple Jolly Rancher.
Really?
Yes.
Well, now I'm going to try that.
That's what I'm saying. You brave. If I had Crown, the days that I chugged Crown Apple from a bottle straight, I do not remember those.
You know, it's funny you say that because I like my whiskey on ice. And like once it gets chilled enough, like it's like, it goes down like water, and it's like,
yeah, whoop, it's scary.
There's the half the bottle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Quickly, very very quickly.
Yeah, and you don't feel it either. Like that's the worst part.
No, you know what you won't feel either.
Right.
Have you had the peanut butter screwball whiskey?
No. Nope.
Oh, put that in the freezer and take, and you don't got to mix that with nothing if you don't want to. That's what I'll take little, you know, if we're at a party or something, we'll do little shots if they have it like frozen or on ice. You do the screwball peanut butter whiskey, and if you do that in a cranberry shot after, it tastes like a peanut butter and jelly.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I am coming to Georgia to party with Tyler Reese. That's what I'm doing. I'm on the next flight to Atlanta. I'm coming. Damn. So can I tell you a quick tequila story?
Of course.
So I'm not a tequila guy. Not at all. Like,
no
thank you. But you know who Lacey K. Booth is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Lacey was here. And she opened for Blanco Brown, and we had her on the show. We did an in-person interview, and we were talking about it. And she's like, you know, she's like, yep, tequila all the way. And I was like, nope, can't do it. And she's like, no, we're going to do it. She's like, I'm going to get ready for the show. I'm going to go back into the green room and do tequila shots. And I was like, Lacey, it's not, nope. And she's like, just trust me. And I was like, fine, pretty lady. Yes, I will trust you. And she like had this like salt thing concoction, and it tasted like pickles.
Ooh.
And my God, when I tell you, I almost became a strict tequila drinker that night. Oh boy. It was fantastic. Like it literally tasted like a dill pickle.
Oh, I can't do pickles.
No?
No.
What is wrong with you? Not even like...
Oh, no. Someone gave me a pickle back one time, and I thought I was dying.
Oh, my God. You're dramatic. Stop it.
No, I cannot. Just even the smell of pickles, I'm like, whoo.
What about fried pickles?
Huh?
Fried pickles?
Oh, any kind of pickle. I don't think... No kind of pickle. No way.
Come on. Pickles are the greatest.
I do my tequila with an orange slice or cinnamon. Really?
Okay. Do you have a tequila brand that you prefer?
The show before the last show that I was just at. I can't even remember what state it was. But we had I think it's like, I don't remember the brand, but it's in a the bottle shaped like an electric guitar.
Oh, cool. And it is
mango tequila.
Huh.
I think it's like rock and roll tequila or hard rock tequila, something like rock and roll tequila. But when I tell you, and that tequila, you don't need anything to, you don't need a lime, salt, nothing to chase it. You could drink that by itself all day, every day. That was, I didn't even know mango tequila existed.
Yeah.
That was the best tequila I've ever had in my life.
Huh. I really, you know, for the tequilas I have had, I do like the George Clooney one.
Oh, yep. That's a good one too.
That is a really good one. You know, so much yep. So that one, I've even heard from other people that that one's even better than George Strait's.
Oh, I haven't had George Strait, so I can't make a
no. And like he's the king, so I mean,
Totally, he's got to have good tequila,
right? Right. Oh my god, I've had so much fun talking to you. This is awesome.
I have had so much fun. You too.
You're never gonna do another interview like this ever in your life.
No, ever.
Just so you
this
know.
Fun? Are you kidding me?
Right. Right, it's not, you know, you can't make this shit up.
Well, if you come to a show, you're definitely doing, because we do tequila shots before we go on too.
Sweet.
So you'd have to.
Oh yeah, then I'll be right there with you, girl. But yeah, again, you know, thank you so much for coming on and shooting the breeze. It's been a hell of a time getting to know you. For the last hour, it really means the world to me.
No, thank you. It's been so much fun, really.
Good, good, good. And, you know, and whenever things come out, you know, reach on out. We'll push it. We'll get it out there for you. And, you know, we're honored. It's an honor and a privilege to, you know, now call you a friend, because that's how we consider everybody that has come on this show, minus maybe a couple that just pissed me off. But, you know, honest to God, Tyler Reese, this has been a hell of a time, and I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you. It really has.
Good. I'm glad. And, you know, like I said, anytime you want to come back and talk about nothing, I'd love to have you.
I would love it too.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you again so much, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, thank you.
Of course.
You have a great rest of your night.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Our conversation with Tyler Reese Tritt. What, like I said at the beginning, right? What a surprise. Not in a bad way. What a surprise of how down to earth she is. Again, not in a bad way. Not that I didn't think she was going to be. But, you know, fuck, this girl, she can hold a conversation. She's fun. She's energetic. She's got a lot of things going for her. And you know what the best part is she's not using her father's name to get ahead. And I love that about her. You know, she's paving her own path in country music. And honestly, I think she's got it, you know, but who the fuck am I, right? She has what it takes. She's got the voice. She's got the chops. She's got everything, you know, and, you know, to learn from dad isn't awful. And, you know, we look forward to, hopefully she gets back up here soon so we can see her and get to meet her for real and all that. So thank you again, Tyler Reese, for coming on. And like we said in the episode, Travis, anytime you want to come on the Boots of Whiskey podcast, we would love to have you. So yeah, that's it, guys. Next week we have Scott Terry on the show. He is the lead singer for Red Wanting Blue. They are a rock and roll band out of Ohio. They're part of the singer-songwriter kind of thing we were doing, you know, or we've been trying to do. You know, we had Matt Wirtz on late last year. That was a great episode. You know, another band from my younger days that really kind of like put me to where I am now. So big thank you to Scott for coming on. And that was a great episode. That's going to be a long one. It's worth it. And now that's it. So again, thank you again, everybody, for being here. Check us out on all of our socials, Boots and Whiskey Podcast, everything, bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com is the website. And that's it, guys. So, I mean, as you could tell, you know, everything here is all about real people, real stories, real country. I know it kind of sounds lame, but it's true. I know it's our tagline too, and that's you know, whatever. We got to put it in there. So, you know, hope you enjoyed the raw emotion of the episode. Wow. I should stop doing these when I'm exhausted. But anyway, thank you for being here. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week. And we'll see you next week with Scott Terry. Until then, guys, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the pod. Whiskey in the pod. Wow. Whiskey in the glass. See what I mean? Tired. Well, get it. Anyway, thanks, guys. And we'll catch you next week. Cheers.